Thursday is here. That means we're on for another half hour or so of sports. Big news buzzing around the leagues in the sporting world. So let's get started. You're listening to The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation, starting a little bit later this evening, but better late than never. We have one out for you this week, and we're going to have a lot of fun here. The biggest thing, for me at least this week, is another gambling scandal. So a couple weeks ago, we had the Shohei Ohtani, Ipe Mizuhara situation, with him stealing $4.5 million from Shohei because of betting on games and all this kind of stuff. He's been fired, all of that, conspiracy theory, everything like that. So in the wake of all of this, Jontay Porter of the Toronto Raptors has been given the hammer by Adam Silver in the NBA. An extremely appropriate punishment, I guess. In my eyes, we kind of knew that they were going to make an example of him as soon as this kind of came out. Basically, the whole rundown here is Jontay Porter has been betting on NBA games. Not only that, but he's been betting on his own team and his own performance, which is even worse. The crazy thing about this is the exact breakdown of the money he's made is not even that significant compared to what he's now lost in terms of a contract. That's the big thing. So here's what we got here. The reason this all happened is because FanDuel, I believe it was, caught a bet that seemed kind of interesting and kind of lined up weirdly with an events of a Toronto Raptors game. The bettor placed $80,000 for Jontay Porter to underperform. And what happens? Jontay Porter plays 3 minutes and then exits the game, basically saying that he's sick or hurt. He's not going to play anymore. He only plays 3 minutes. And the return on that bet was $1.1 million. Look, I can understand if you're placing an $80,000 bet. Honestly, I can't understand if you're placing an $80,000 bet. Anyway, number one, you've got far too much money to play with. Number two, on an individual player split that's not part of a parlay, that seems a little interesting to me. But what's even worse, if we're walking through the situation and we're looking at it this way, I guess I can understand a little bit of if you're going to place an $80,000 bet on a guy like LeBron James in a big game, a guy like Kevin Durant, maybe a Devin Booker to underperform a little bit, maybe a Steph Curry type deal. The Warriors have been struggling this season. Might get into that in a little bit here. But to turn around and go, okay, solid role player for the Raptors, I'm going to take the under on this guy. That's the first thing that kind of puzzles me. The second thing that kind of immediately threw a red flag is it's an $80,000 bet. Yeah, the return for it is ridiculous. But when it lined up, it threw a red flag at FanDuel. FanDuel alerted the NBA of what they flagged it. The bet didn't go through. They didn't allow the bet to go through, obviously. And Adam Silver has thrown down a lifetime ban on Jontay Porter. So here's basically the breakdown. NBA investigation found basically Jontay Porter placed several bets. This number is 13 is what I'm seeing in this tweet. It's Joe Pompliano. Whether it's 13 or more than that, here's what we got here. His smallest bet, $15, his largest bet, $22,000, net winnings, $21,965. Yeah, this is just, what's interesting about this is how he thought he could get away with it, especially with what's going on with Shohei Ohtani right now. You're watching quite possibly the biggest name in baseball over in LA, in really, really hot water. People are people were starting to say, "Oh, Shohei might lose his job. Shohei might get banned by the MLB." And you go, "All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start communicating with bettors." He was doing that. He was communicating with bettors, to go with the under, to underperform, and he was basically calling them, letting them know what to place about. I'm sure he got a cut of that. Sure he had a bookie somewhere. So essentially he was doing that, and then he would go out there and, in fact, he was reportedly throwing, messing up his own play, playing poorly, exiting early, with an injury or an illness. So he bet on NBA games on himself, and that's 100% banned in the NBA. It's banned in just about every sport across the U.S., if not in the world. He was using somebody else's online betting account. Not only that, but he was giving other bettors information about his health status. That was ahead of a game earlier in March. It was all, so that's giving other bettors unfair advantages in order to win them more money. And then he was throwing. He was altering his own actions in a game, and that would basically help him and help other bettors fulfill wagers that would return them a whole bunch of money, which created the problem called, hey, I'm a bettor in X location, somewhere where it's legal to bet. I'm going to throw $80,000 on Jonte Porter, of all people, to play the under. So he only played 3 minutes in that game, exited, and then basically the bet was immediately flagged by betting operators, and the bet was frozen. Never got paid out. Money was returned to the guy who originally placed the bet, but that is over. So, lifetime ban. Let this be a lesson to anybody in the sporting world who thinks that they're going to get away with it. This should have been something that he should have known a long time ago. It wasn't going to work. You might get away with it for a little while, but you're going to get caught eventually, and this just happened to be his time. So hope you had fun, Jonte. His career earnings compared to what he actually made in terms of money value, what the return was, it's insane. You're a multimillionaire. Why do you need to place bets? And why do you need, it's not even worth it to ask the questions. Why do you need to place bets? Obviously the easiest thing to do is to place bets on yourself. That's what happened. But there's no reason for it. You're a solid role player. You were still developing. You were young. You had a whole career in front of you. 24 years old. Solid role player. Solid rotation guy for the Raptors. Would have been a solid rotation guy if not an a slightly above average role player. That's what I'm looking for. An above average role player. So he would have been around for a while. And you're talking, close to $100 million by the time you're done with your career. Depends on how long you're playing. And the NBA's salary cap keeps going up and up and up, so you'll be able to demand more and more money. But now you're throwing all that away. Now you really got to rely on betting if FanDuel hasn't banned you as well. Yeah. Have fun with that, Jonte Porter. Enjoy your early retirement, your early exit. Don't bet on sports games if you play for the team. Period. That's the learned lesson. Now it's time for our two-minute drill, where we listen to you. Don't forget, these questions or comments come from our Instagram or Podbean app comment sections. All you have to do is put a comment on the previous episode, and we're going to take a look. We're going to pick one. and we're going to kind of debate. Or we're going to agree and talk about it a little bit more. If you don't get picked 1 week, keep commenting because you'll get picked eventually. Right now, we've seen back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back with one exception, Robbie at P. And guess what? He's going to return again. Big basketball question. When do you expect LeBron to hang the shoes up? This is something that's obviously inevitable. It's something I don't want to think about. It's something that a lot of basketball fans don't want to think about. I know there's still the big debate over, oh, LeBron, Jordan, whatever you have it. But LeBron has done amazing things for the sport of basketball. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest player that I've ever watched. There's still a bit debate for the greatest of all time, but my GOAT is LeBron James. He's the one that I got to grow up watching. There's not been another player that's been, I mean, in general, he's the best physically built guy that we've ever seen grace the court. In terms of him retiring, he's come out and he said, look, I don't have a whole lot of time left. The one thing I want to do is share the floor with my son. A while back, my thought process would have been this. It would have been, hey, he's going to wait for his son to get drafted. He's going to go to wherever his son gets drafted. He's going to play 1 year with him, and then he's going to go play against him for a year. And then he's going to go ahead and retire. So you pretty much have 2 years. I think he's got two or three left in him. Here's what's going to happen. Lakers have a late second round pick. Bronny James did not perform in high school the way that everybody expected him to. He came in as one of the higher recruits in the class. So you're kind of looking at it already as he's a weaker point guard. But here's my thought process. The draft class outside of the first top 10, 15 guys, it's at least appears on paper a little bit weak. So you get down into the second round and you're kind of thinking about who you want to go with. I think the Lakers pick is right around mid-50s. Off the top of my head, if I remember correctly, it's pick number 54. What's stopping the Lakers from taking Bronny James at 54? Because here's the other thing he's done. He's declared for the NBA draft while hanging on to his college eligibility. You know what that means? If the Lakers don't draft him, or there's not enough interest outside of the Lakers, he's going back to college. And he's entered the transfer portal at that point. So then you're looking at schools like, oh, LeBron would have gone to Ohio State. Maybe he goes to Ohio State. Maybe he stays in California. Maybe he goes to UCLA. But what I think is going to happen is, with the Lakers, when you don't have a whole lot of money to move around and you're kind of out of the range of these are the guys we want to take, even into the second round, like I said, outside of the top 15 guys on paper, it's not the strongest draft class. Take a chance on Bronny. And I think the Lakers are going to do just that because with his college performance, he doesn't have the pull to be able to attract a whole lot of attention. If somebody else takes Bronny James in this draft, it's because they really see something special in him. And I think he will grow to be a solid 3-and-D point guard. I don't think he's a complete lost cause. I think he'll be above average. Do I think he's going to be a major all-star? No. I think he can develop into eventually a fringe all-star. That's going to take time, though. Anybody coming from the James family, I think, is going to be a competent basketball player. Do I think Bryce is going to be better than Bronny? Yeah, he's a younger brother. He's had to learn how to play basketball with his older brothers, or his older brother and his friends. Same way with my younger brother growing up. He had to learn how to hang with me, my other brother. And so the youngest of us is probably playing in high school. He's playing in high school right now. He's probably the best out of the three of us, because he had to learn how to hang with the older brothers growing up. So I think Bryce will probably eventually be better than Bronny, but I think the Lakers take a chance on Bronny. I think they draft him. That means they keep LeBron around. That means they keep the market around. The thing that needs to happen, though, is LeBron needs to start thinking about slowing down a bit and passing the reins off to Anthony Davis, make him the focal point. But I do think LeBron has two, at least, if not 3 years left before retirement. And that's just another thing that's just going to feel weird. It's going to feel weird to lose LeBron James. I'm 25 years old. LeBron's been in the league longer than I can remember watching basketball. 5-year-old me, what was I watching? My dad's a Carolina alumni, so he's gonna have all the Carolina games on. NBA basketball wasn't until a little bit later, until I was remembering competently and cognitively what I was watching. But LeBron's been in the league the entire time that I've been watching NBA basketball, unless I'm going back and watching some classic games. He's been the face of the league, the talk of the league. At the time, he was the future of the league, and he's still around. This season, he's still averaging 25, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 54% field goal percentage there. And he's still doing this with 20 years of experience. He's 39 years old. 39. And the guy is still playing this way. If he wanted to, I feel like he could go until he's 50. But I don't think that's in the cards for him. He doesn't want to at this point. He's made his money. He's had his fun. He wants to have one last ride with Bronny. And then I think what he wants to do is either play against him or finish his career playing with him for a couple of years. That's what I think is going to happen. Give him 2 or 3 years left on his deal. And I think he'll be done. That right there concludes the 2-minute drill. Remember, if you want to have your comment featured on the 2-minute drill, just drop it in our comment section on previous episode of The Hive with Devin Beasley, and you'll be in the running. You can do it there, or you can DM us on Facebook or Instagram at The Hive DB. So NBA playoffs are kind of coming around, and we're watching the play-in tournament, right? And I had my predictions for it. The only thing that got messed up was I had the Hawks over the Bulls. That didn't happen. In fact, the Bulls beat the Hawks pretty handily and are going to go up against Miami, who are now down Jimmy Butler, who seems to have an MCL injury. So that's going to hurt. But I had the Kings over the Warriors, not in the sense that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green couldn't get it done. Klay didn't have a very good game. But the fact that the Kings were just much younger, much quicker, much faster, and the Warriors kind of seem to have fallen apart over the last few years. Not really fallen apart. The core three are still there. The team is still there, but you can only keep guys around so long before you have to start realizing, and I think this was the year. You could see in the press conference, Steph Curry's sitting there and going, man, the personnel that we have on this team just can't get it done. Now, let's face it. Steph Curry is the face of the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson's a great number two. Draymond Green, if he wasn't with the Warriors, I don't know if he would have lasted as long, especially with some of the crazy stuff that he's pulled off. There's no disrespect for Draymond Green. He's a great basketball player. But some of the crazy stuff that he's done to other players, I'm surprised there hasn't been more of a consequence for him. It got to the point where the Warriors front office had to step in and say, we're suspending you. So there's just kind of some interesting situations going over there. But let's face it, the Golden State Warriors are in the moonlight of their dynasty. Here's the decision that they have to make, and I think they need to weigh in with Steph Curry very heavily with this, because this is going to decide how exactly the rest of Golden State goes down here. Do we move on from the likes of Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, Chris Paul? Here's what they had a couple years ago. Starting lineup was Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney. Small forward kind of fluctuated. You had Kevin Durant for a little while. Then you had an interesting year where you were running D'Angelo Russell at point, and then at the two guard when Curry was healthy. Then you had Andrew Wiggins, a couple of different pieces to insert there. But off of the bench, you turn around and look at what they have. They had Jordan Poole, Patrick Baldwin, Jonathan Kuminga. At one point, they had Eric Paschal, and he was looking good. But they had a team built for the future, and heads have started to butt. Jordan Poole is no longer there. Jonathan Kuminga seems like he's very close to throwing in his hat and going, look, I don't want to play here anymore. Either trade me or let me walk to free agency. Very close to that point. In fact, if they continue to go with the core that they have, Jonathan Kuminga may try to leave anyway. But there comes a point in time for an NBA front office to decide whether they're going to hang on to guys for their fans and just let them finish their career in the city that they've always played for out of pure respect for the players, and just being like, hey, you've won us championships. We owe you whatever you want to do right now. Or if they want to pick one or two guys and they want to go after another title. Steph Curry still seems hungry. He still wants one more title, at least before his retirement. I don't think it happens with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green on the roster. I think they have to move on from those two guys. And they're going to be trade pieces. Either that or Klay Thompson is just going to walk in free agency. That's upcoming here. They got a decision to make. And am I saying Klay Thompson is a bad player? By all means, no. Is Klay Thompson worth the money that I think he's going to demand in free agency? No. Do I think Klay Thompson should be able to be a guy that you can score on $15 million a season and put up a solid 10 to 15 points? Yes. And he'll probably do more than that. He'll do every bit of more than that. He could still, on any given night, drop 30 on you. But they're older now. They're getting towards the end of their careers. Stephen Curry is still hungry. And all I see from Klay Thompson and Draymond Green is they're getting into fights, getting down on themselves, and then holding up four fingers anytime anybody wants to point out, hey, we're younger than you, you're on your way out. Warriors need to move on in order to win Steph Curry another championship. If that's really the goal, and I think it is because Steph Curry is still wanting that last one, if that's still the goal, it's time. It's time to move on. This isn't one of those things where Miami Heat, Bosh and Dwayne Wade and LeBron leaves. Dwayne Wade and Bosh try to figure it out. Bosh starts having health issues, ends up retiring maybe a bit early. And then Dwayne Wade goes, hey, I'm going to go to Chicago, get paid, and then ends up coming back. That's not one of those situations, because that was, we tried everything we could and we're not in a position now where we're going to win it with Dwayne Wade. They don't want to put Steph Curry in that situation. They don't want to put Steph Curry in the situation where they're like, we've done everything we could with all the personnel that we can, and we just can't win another one for Steph Curry. They want to do it. They want to win one more. But it's time to make a move. Free agency's coming up. Trades can be made. Draft picks are there to be taken. Maybe they slide up in the draft, take a young piece. But they've got the young pieces to continue to build more of a dynasty. I think Jonathan Kuminga will eventually be a cornerstone of the Warriors franchise. I do just think it's going to take them some time. He might have a down year, but Steph Curry is going to have more longevity than what Draymond and Klay Thompson are going to have. You don't want to push him to the point where you just wait out Klay Thompson and Draymond to retire and Steph's got maybe another 2-3 years in the tank. Get it done now. Get him another championship. Let him retire as one of, if not the greatest point guard ever seen in the league. Definitely the greatest shooter we've ever seen in the league. But do him a favor. Get him another championship. Make it work. Unless he tells you not to, of course. But make it work for Steph Curry. We all want to see him win one more. Want to thank you today for joining us on this Thursday evening. Great topics we went over today. Want to remind you that if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at The Hive with Devin Beasley. You can also find us on Instagram at The Hive DB. That is at THEHIVEDB. Want to have a special shout out for Brittany Stocker for doing our logo. You can find her on Instagram at A Shadows Art. That's at ASHADOWART. Excuse me. On Instagram, you can check out her past, present, and future projects. Wonderful artist there. Big shout out to her for doing our logo. Then again, if you want to catch us every Thursday, hop on over to our website. It's thehivedb.podbean.com. Again, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. You have been listening to The Hive with Devin Beasley, where you get the buzz on all sports all across the nation.